There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Also, not just Friday. It's Earth Day. And like I started last hour, it's interesting to see, if you go online even, and see what the interpretations of Earth Day are. And this idea that it has to be a binary discussion. Either you're for every agenda that's out there that's linked somehow to environmentalism, either you're completely in or you hate the Earth. This idea that there's anything in between is what's true, but it's not what is painted as a picture for the American people out there. And so on this Earth Day, this idea that it's a horrible thing, it's not a horrible thing. It's a great thing. And there's so many common sense things that I've talked about over the years. I don't think this should be a political discussion if you want to make sure that the water's clean or that the air's clean. Right? That you want to make sure that, you know, the places you go are safe to go, that there's not the contaminants there. This idea that that's a Democrat or a Republican thing and is small minded and silly. So we will continue to talk about what I think are good common sense environmental ideas here. And I get to do this with a friend that you and I have known each other. Decades? Decades.
He's gotten that way, yes.
Yeah, Tom Rouse joining us. We've known each other another life, but now with Councilman Automotive Recycling. Good mm-hmm. to see you.
Good to see you. Glad to be seen.
Recycling, like the idea of many people would say, automotive and recycling. What? I mean, that's not the same. That's not the same context, is it? But
I mean, you know, in a historical sense, people don't think about automotive and recycling.
Right.
But, you know, we've learned that, you know, up to 86% of a vehicle can be recycled. In some cases, 98%.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, not just pulling metals and melting them down, but, I mean, actual physical parts that people can reuse on another vehicle.
Are people... Okay, so I grew up in a house where if there was something, Dad and I would go to a salvage facility mm-hmm. before... Yeah, you know, before going anywhere, he's like, we're going to do it ourselves. We go to a salvage facility. Is that still, where's that market right now? I mean, with where we're looking at the price of new vehicles, price of used vehicles, mm-hmm. are people fixing their own stuff? What are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing one, I mean, you've heard the news about the cargo ships being stuck out in the mm-hmm. ocean and they can't get pieces in. You call your dealerships today and they say, we're on a 6-month back order. And I'm on a Facebook group for parts people, and that's one of their big complaints is we can't even get the parts now. So we've seen an uptick because of that, because new parts are not readily available like they used to be.
Right. So that's getting people reintroduced to find out what's in salvage.
Right. And it's an economic thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can save up to 50% on a used part, which that's one thing at Councilman's. We don't just, you know, jerk a fender off and go sell it. Everything we pull is inspected before it even leaves the vehicle. If we pull an alternator off, we make sure we've tested it. If we take its starter off, it's tested before it's ever pulled off the vehicle. And then it's cleaned up and put on the shelf for us to sell.
And so that's a different idea for me, because I kind of always thought about all the parts are there with the vehicle, and then when you show up, but y'all are taking them apart, inventory. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, today's inventory world, you gotta know what you got.
Oh, yeah. Now, there are certain parts that we do leave on the vehicle, but there's a lot of things that we pull, like starters, alternators, radiators, and AC compressors, and engines and transmissions, and those are pulled and cleaned up, like I said, fully tested before we even put them on the shelf. so that they're available for the consumer. And one thing that most people don't even think about with a salvage yard or with councilman's is tires.
Right. You talk about buying something expensive.
Oh, I know it. You can pay $200 or $300 or more for a good tire, especially if you get into the 17, 18 inch, 20 inch and above. You could be paying $500 or $600.
Right.
Which, if someone's just put new tires on their truck mm-hmm. and they're in a wreck and they bring it to the yard and those tires are still brand new, we take them off, clean them up, put them on the shelf, and sell them for $35-$40 a piece.
Keep them out of the landfill, too.
Exactly.
And that's a part of it. You and I are talking today on this Earth Day, you know, mm-hmm. to talk about this recycling. I was reading here, you've got a sales force of 18 recycled part pros that process mm-hmm. and recycle approximately 30 to 35 vehicles a day that y'all yeah. are...
Yeah, that's in our four different locations.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You're doing that, and you mentioned this, that 86% of the vehicle material content is recycled, reused, or used for energy recovery. Okay, so energy recovery. How does that work?
Well, like I said, that's stats from the Automotive Recyclers Association.
Okay.
And they're saying overall, when we pull the... heavy metals out of the vehicle, we pull the liquids, we pull the, you know, gasoline and things like that, that's recycled and brought into use. We take an old engine that can't be used anymore, and we send it off to the scrappers. We take old cars that we've pulled everything off we can, and we send those off to the scrappers so it can be melted down and reused for something else.
You know, what's interesting, too, reading here, Tom, is this is something that I was talking about with you during the news break. I was talking about glass bottles.
Right.
Because I got this thing that I'm a recycling fan on the things that make sense to recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that don't make sense, but there's things that do. It says every ton of new steel made from scrap steel conserves. And think about this, y'all. In the foundry world, this is what we're talking about. It's so every ton of new steel would require 2,500 pounds of iron ore, 1,400 pounds of coal, and 120 pounds of limestone. So each time you don't have to make that, you save that energy. You
know, that's right.
That's the thing. I mean, that's the thing when I talk about for aluminum and some other things out there, mm-hmm. that it's not just the not having to go get more aluminum, but you didn't have to spend the energy and burn the, you know, burn the coal or exactly. burn the gas to do it.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, that's got to make a difference, too, that, you know, if you have a part that I need, they didn't have to make one. That's even right. though it might be sitting out on a ship, they're still not. There's going to be one less they have to make.
Right, exactly. And that's the beauty of this that people don't realize is when you come to Councilman's to buy, you know, say you're buying a wheel.
Okay.
This is original equipment. You're not buying a knockoff. This is the one.
Right, this is the OEM. Made. Yeah.
Yeah, and they call it ROE, recycled. My mind just went blank. Recycled original equipment.
Okay. On this, you know, and you also talk about the batteries and pulling batteries out. That's a, mm-hmm. gosh, that's a big discussion. We just, yesterday on the show, we're talking about a graphite deposit was found in the state of Alabama that will be components for batteries going forward, which right. is a big deal because, you know, as whenever it happens, mm-hmm. does it happen in 10 years, 5 years, 10 years, 50, we're heading towards these electric vehicles, right? A lot of,
yeah.
That's a lot of batteries. Well, heck, right now, even before that, there are batteries. I'm thinking about the batteries around my house just mm-hmm. for golf carts and vehicles yeah. and boats and all that. There's a ton of those, and that's got some nasty stuff in them.
Mm-hmm. And we've actually gotten into that already where we're getting some of these hybrid vehicles in with those big batteries. And when I was on the sales counter, that's where I mean, I sold a couple of those while I was there. You know, when you can pay $600 or $800 for a hybrid battery or wait for it from the dealer for about three times that.
But you can, this process of recycling, reusing mm-hmm. them, I mean, there's two parts. There's the, I can imagine y'all pull a battery that's good out of an electric mm-hmm. vehicle, and then you're just getting somebody else getting a good electric battery. Right. But what about the general process of not having to make more battery? I mean, right. you think about it, we're going to be in a position here that instead of talking about storing whatever other kind of waste out there, mm-hmm. I'm scared how much will be a discussion maybe in 20 years about what do we do with all this battery stuff.
Right.
So it's interesting that y'all are working on that. And so it, for people to process this, Tom, you're saying that a salvage facility like Councilman's, y'all are green. Y'all are recyclers.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying? It sounds weird,
yeah,
right?
It does.
Sounds like it's, people would think, well, it's salvage. Yeah. I mean, they may be great salvage people, but they're not environmental folks.
No, but we are.
It's, talk about this as well, the general state of where we are in the supply chain. Y'all see it. It's pretty interesting at this unique point because people can't get these parts. Mm-hmm. You said it's caused people to come into a salvage facility more often. Are y'all getting any vibe inside the automotive world that this is going to change anytime soon, or is this the new normal, to be cliched?
Honestly, I mean, we keep up with the industry and as is concerned to salvage yards and recycling automotive industry out there. But, you know, when it comes to dealer parts, you know, we notice and we recognize, but we're not focused on them.
Gotcha.
We're focused on getting these vehicles processed so that we can salvage and pull off the good parts, mm-hmm. and reuse those, get those back out into cars that are needing parts, and then the parts that we can't, we get those off to be scrapped.
And but let's talk about the volume. I'm sure we could pick out the top three or four, mm-hmm. vehicles in the country, and y'all be like, okay, that's for a Camry, or that's for a F-150 or something. That's going to be, somebody's going to be looking for that. You ever get vehicles in, you're like, I don't know who's going to come asking for this part, but one day somebody's going to come asking for this. It's a, you know.
That is a rare occasion, because at the end of the day, we're a business.
Right.
So we try not to stock those rare and obscure vehicles. We do have one or two out there that nobody else may have. But like the median age of our yards, the median age of the vehicles is 2008.
Okay, so that's...
So we focus basically on the past 20 years.
You're not going to have that 30-year-old part for the international scout that somebody's looking.
Probably not.
But this is good. All right, and you talked about these stats coming over four locations. So tell folks about, before we go to the news here, about Councilman's and the locations where they can stop by and see you.
Well, Councilman's was founded in 1966. The current owner's grandfather started it. He was right down the road from, you remember, Pete Bates?
Mm-hmm.
Which our Mobile location is the old Pete Bates location.
Well, St. Stephen's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the story goes that Pete Bates, when people came up there looking for, I think he said, a Chevrolet Caprice, he'd send them up to James Councilman's shop because that's all he worked on. And he bought up all the old ones and used ones that he could find so he could get parts. And so finally he just said, well, let's just get into the salvage business. And they've been doing it ever since. And James Councilman is the current owner, and his father, Eddie, ran it for several years, and he actually, from what I'm told, worked in the state legislature to take the word junk off of anything to do with the salvage operation.
I'll be darned.
And change it to salvage. You know,
so that's how the change came legislatively on that.
Yeah,
see, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that information. I'll win a beer off that at some point.
There
I'll say,
you
well,
go.
Let me tell you a little known fact.
But we have four locations. That one on St. Stephen's Road, 3019 St. Stephen's Road. We have it in Spanish Fort, a yard there at 10880 Highway 31. It's right next to the David's Catfish House, if you've been over there.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprise, Alabama at 2531 County Road 702 and Panama City, Florida at 1715 Maple Avenue.
Very good. And get those. Go to the website and get that mm-hmm. information as well. What's your website?
Councilmanauto.com.
Anyway, it's good to see what y'all are doing and good to talk to you after decades.
Yes.
We're both not as young as we were,
no.
Tom. I appreciate that. And, yeah, happy Earth Day, everybody. Like John saying, it's a spin on Earth Day, a great spin on Earth Day. Yeah, there's different things you can do out there. Being earth-friendly doesn't mean you have to be banging bongos and kicking around a hacky sack. You can do this every day in your life. Clean air, clean water, better use of our resources out there. That shouldn't be Democrat. That shouldn't be Republican. That should just be human. All right, Tom, good to see you.
Yes.
Coming right back. Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 725, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. This segment of the show brought to you by, speaking of junk though, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey, which is great because he will also take things that need to go to be sorted, to be recycled. So it shows up and you got junk ready to go. He knows where to, number one, the responsible place, a legal place to put those things when you go get rid of them. And also, if there's recycle value and stuff, he can handle that as well. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and we've used it here at the station. We use it at the storage unit. We use it at our house. A lot of different ways. If you've got junk and you need it because you don't know where to take it, or it's too big to mess with, or you're just over it, 1-800-GOT-JUNK can fix that. Call, set an appointment. Go online, set an appointment, and it is a good old-fashioned appointment that they'll find for you, a day that works for you, a window of time. They'll tell you they're going to be there. They show up, and then you just walk around and show them, hey, I want these things gone, those other things gone, and that over there gone, whatever. They'll quote you a price, and you say yes, they get to work and get it done and clean up after themselves, and just kind of people you want in your home. Right. And I've said this in the past, and people say, that's weird to you, but I'm funny with who comes in my house. Maybe I'm strange that way. Love folks coming in the house. I'm just funny till I get to know them. Well, the times we've used 1-800-GOT-JUNK, it's folks you don't mind having in your house. People you can trust, people that can be in there doing that work. So check them out online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Get that appointment made maybe for next week. Get that junk gone from your life. All right. By the way, going back for a second here. So a text I received... actually several texts here, my discussion of where the Dolly Parton Bridge is actually versus, like, because often people will call the whole span, you know, from the time you're over water to you're back on land, all that. The Dolly Parton Bridge is, or the spans to me, the rest of it's just elevated 65. And see, there's a lot of people agreeing with me on that. That's because they're brilliant out there. Like Haywood said, you, sir, are correct. The twins are the bridge. Side note, losing your alternator northbound ascending is not a pleasant experience. I can imagine it isn't. Oh, Grant, Sean said, he said, Sean, what's wrong with hacky sacks? That's profiling, and profiling is wrong. It's also sometimes accurate. I did enough of that. Can you imagine me, who's got an environmental streak to me, right? And I imagine that in college all those decades ago when I did. And I'd be around a bunch of people that had the look, right? And they had the bongos and the stupid sticks you twirl around and the hacky sack and all that. They had the look. They had the environmental look. So I'd engage them in conversations about, you know, water quality policy in the state and air quality. And they were basically there for the party, okay? And so those people are still out there, Grant. They're there for the party. You can be an environmentalist. You can be somebody who gives a damn about the water and the air, you know, what our children drink and breathe, that we drink and breathe, where we live, without signing on to some kind of global agenda or some kind of I'm just here for the party look. And somebody told me it's called devil sticks. Okay, devils, whatever, those flip around stick things. You could be engaged in... and pushing for policies that give us cleaner water, cleaner air, without being in some kind of, so many people talk about environmentalism on a global level. And hey, there's some that can engage in this conversation and tell me why it's better top down. But top down is really just puts people in their trenches, paints them in boxes, when I think there's a lot of area where I don't care what party you vote for or whatever. I think we could all be engaged in saying, hey, we don't need to have sewage overspills into our water with, like, constant regularity. We don't need to have questions in other parts of the country about air quality when we can do some things, some common sense things to fix those. We can't let things leach into our groundwater that we know that are going to affect us now and decades down the road. That's not some kind of hidden, you know, communist manifesto. And listen, there's a lot of people in this bit on both sides, but there are a lot of people that in conservative talk radio long ago tried to make it sound like it was all these things were if you were upset about them, it's because you were anti-business. Well, Lord knows, I mean, I'm a small business person. I'm not anti-business. I'm just pro clean air and clean water and using common sense to make these judgments. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on this Earth Day, which I think we can all equally celebrate.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. And let's check in with our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Talk to me, man. What's going on today? How's the precious metal world?
Metal session dipped just a little bit. Silver right now is around 24 and some change. Gold is in the low 1900s, and because of that, we've had a lot of people flocking in, checking out the inventory, checking out the cool selection. I don't know if we posted it online yet, so we'll be the first to announce it here. We just got the two NASA coins in, one with the old retro logo and one with the new Meteor logo. Very cool. I picked up a couple of those for myself.
And that's a thing you've told people as well, that if you have precious metal, there's one value that's obviously just the raw spot value of the precious metal, but then you move into artistry and collectability, and it's a magnifier on that.
Well, it really is, and so many people like outer space. So, you know, somebody was at the shop last night. We had a late evening here at the shop, and a customer came in and was telling us about how his dad used to take him to watch the launches when he was 8 or 9 years old, way back when. And so he was all excited about getting those NASA coins in stock, and he picked up some of those for himself as well.
I bet those things are going to go quickly. Give people directions to come check out those coins and everything else in the shop, and talk about the show.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com. Of course, you can like and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just check out Mobile Bay Coins there. Or listen to Two Guys and Some Change every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5, 6 to 7 p.m., if you miss it there, well, shame on you, but you can always catch us on the podcast, twoguysandsomechange.com, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Excellent. We'll talk again soon.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Yeah, you too. There's Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. As we're talking about the weeks ahead, the fun ahead, and it's good to see my friend Wayne Dean come on in from UCP, and Amy Angerizer, a new friend. Welcome. Good to see y'all.
Good to see you. Thank you for having us.
Always good, Sean.
Hey, by the way, haircut's looking good.
Haircut's looking good.
Yeah, it's looking good.
I told my wife the other day, I've got to cut it again or either let it grow because it's at the point I can't do anything with it.
I'm liking what you're doing right now, what you're rocking right there.
Okay.
I'm liking it. So
that's
just,
that sounds good.
So let's, first of all, before we get into specific events here, and I know we got the Downton Abbey event coming up and a fishing tournament coming up, but I do this every time because I think it's so important. Talk about what UCP does and the number of people y'all impact in our region.
Okay, I'll start that off. I know you like the numbers.
I do.
And it's always amazing. I think that number may have bumped up a little bit. 700 families every month. I think it's probably a little higher than that now. And that's a lot of people we serve. And when we say we serve them, we basically serve them almost from birth up through on up through adulthood, because we have early intervention where people can have a newborn child, which is scary anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a child with a disability. It's even more terrifying. And we have people, therapists and counselors that could go in the homes and at that point and start working with those families.
And the whole family, too, because when you have that child, you've taught me over time that it's right. You're helping mom and dad and siblings. And
right. It's not just a 2 or 3 person, it's right. Aunts and uncles, anybody that right. Is dealing with that child. And that is, it's probably invaluable to that child, probably more than we say it is, because mm-hmm. they are learning to interact with all types of people from birth, and everybody's interacting with them, that little child. And then, of course, up through, we have preschool, where it works on the same schedule as the public schools, and those children come in, and it's just amazing. I always like to say my office is back there, and I right. watch the kids, and they're there 2 years, 3 years, and you can just watch them grow, and it's just amazing. And then we have an adult program. We have a Camp Smile for 3 weeks every summer, which goes from young children, and we have people that have been going there since they were young people, teenagers, and are still going, even though they're in the 30s and 40s, because it's such a wonderful time for them. They get to do things that they would not get to do normally. You know, things that you and I would do at a camp. Mm-hmm. You know, ride horses, go swimming, you know, participate in all kind of games. And so it's just an amazing camp that we have every summer.
Yeah, and y'all's impact is felt by so many here. And that's why I also want to talk about, how we have fun, which I always love you bring away to have fun, but raise money for UCP. Amy, I know you've got, this is a Downton Abbey event coming up.
Yes, it's May 6th at the Battle House in the Crystal Ballroom. And what it is it's a dining gala.
Okay.
And the theme is Downton Abbey. And it's a 8-course meal with wine pairings for every course. And so this is what they did in the 20s. They had many, many courses, up to 12 at some times, for their dinner. And it was a dining experience with wine pairings, taking your time. So I'm really excited. It's the first time that we've ever done something like this at UCP.
Yes.
And there's still availability. And you can go to UCP.org or our Facebook page and book tickets. But we're really, really excited. It's going to be a fun event.
Explain that to us. So we're going to go to the event. Are we going to be seated at a table with other folks, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, that just depends. What you can book a table of 10 if you have, 10 of
your
friends.
So, like, for a business group or something like that, or friends,
you can definitely do that. Or you can just book, one couple. There's been several people that have done that, so it's really, up to you.
All right,
and it's a formal affair. Sean.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. I was going to say, if it's Downton Abbey stuff, I got to dress fancy, don't I?
You do. It's white tails and tie for men, and then it's 1920s cocktail attire for the ladies.
Ladies just heard this and go, I got a reason to buy a new dress.
Yes, yeah. And they have great options on Amazon.
There you go.
But we just get something out of the closet.
Yeah, the same thing we were. Yes.
That's right.
You just got to make sure it's back from the dry cleaners.
Yes,
okay.
Mine's there now.
See, I'm on that pacing. So those tickets can be purchased now. And the event, once again, is?
The Downton Abbey event is May 6th. It starts at 6 p.m. at the Battle House Crystal Ballroom.
All right. And so there's the refined aspect of life along the Gulf Coast. And then the next day was probably more in my wheelhouse. My wife likes the event the night before. I'm more into the next day because we got a fishing tournament.
That's right. Now, you could go to Downton Abbey, dress up, and we have a block of rooms at the Battle House. You can stay there, get up the next morning, and go fishing.
Oh, okay. That's a win.
Yes, it is. A fishing tournament is actually, Downton Abbey is a first-time event.
Right.
Fishing tournament is actually our oldest continuous event.
Is it really? I know you and I have been talking about it a long time.
It's been a long time. And it predates us, not in age, but in years of talking about it. Started like 14, 15 years ago by two guys that were on the board, and they've been kind of spearheading it ever since. And it's at the weigh-in's at the same physical location it's been for those 14 years.
And that is?
Right now, it's Ralph and Kaku's on the causeway.
It's been different. What my friend is getting at here is that weigh-in's been there. The business has changed signs and things, but that weigh-in's been there.
And the first one, it was like a vacant lot.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the history of where I weigh in. But we have four fish that we fish for: flounder, speckled trout, white trout, and redfish. Adults can fish for $30. Children under 12 can fish for $10, unless they want to fish for the big prizes.
Okay, so the kids, if we got a ringer in our family. they can upgrade.
They can upgrade and buy an adult ticket.
Okay,
and they can win reels and rods and reels and tackle boxes and ice chests. We had a little girl from she was probably 10 at the time. She came over with her family from Mississippi about 4 years ago, maybe. And she had told Daddy, I don't want to fish for trophies, which is, the kids' division to receive trophies. And so they
bought her. She wanted some real loot.
Yeah, well, she'd been fishing probably with Mom and Dad all her life.
Uh-huh.
And she won. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was second or third prize in one of the categories.
Very good.
And ironically, both her dad and mom won in a category, so they loaded up with all kind of prizes.
Wait a second. That family, they're ringing, the whole family's ringers.
Yes.
You talking about the weigh-ins being on the causeway. Do we have to leave from there, or can we launch? Where do we?
You can fish anywhere in Alabama waters.
Okay.
From daybreak of the 7th, which is Saturday. And you could, literally, you could fish right up to right before 4 o'clock, but you got to be in line at 4 to get your fish weighed in. And then, come anytime between 1 and 4 and weigh your fish if you think you got a winner.
Yep. Well, you got to show up either way. Don't be the person who says, I don't have a winning fish, so I'm not going to go be there at the end.
No. You got to come be with your friends and just enjoy the camaraderie.
By the way, quite a few questions here coming in on Downton Abbey, too. So this texture says, I'm having trouble finding the info on the event at the Battle House. So once again, where do they get all the info on this?
So if they want to email me at ucpmobile.org, I can help them with that. If they call the Battle House and they ask for a room block under United Cerebral Palsy, they should be able to find it. If they can't, they can certainly call Amy at 479-4900, and I will help them with that.
All right. So hopefully that helps you get in touch there. And then white tails or white tucks, Preston's asking.
Tails.
So tails.
White tie and tails.
So something.
Not your black tie, not your semi-formals, but your tug.
Your tails that are like Wayne and I, they're probably at the dry cleaner right now.
Right. Just
make sure to get them back in time. Good. All right. So, yeah, people asking, can they – okay, they found it. You can sign up and get those done then. Once again, that is Friday night, right?
Correct.
The 6th
yes.
of May.
Yes.
Fishing tournaments.
Fishing is the 7th, and the tickets are at 10 different locations around Mobile Baldwin County, or you can get those at that same website, ucpmobile.org. We have a ticket – a link to the fishing tournament there. Hooked Up to Help is the name of the tournament.
I'm glad these events are coming back. And we just got a minute here before we got to go to the news. But you and I talked about that during
yes.
shutdowns and pandemics, that for y'all and so many other charities,
sure.
what y'all do every day didn't stop. Your service community didn't stop. But fundraisers and these events mm-hmm. did.
Right. And we still had to help the people because that's our mission. And we want to do that.
So, I mean, obviously from my side, it looks good. From y'all's side, it's got to feel great to have these events coming back.
Oh, yes.
Something new like the Downton Abbey event or the fishing tournament that's been here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
These ways that raise money for this fantastic charity and let us kind of have fun while we do it.
Yes, and stay tuned for Food and Folly in September.
Yeah, you got that coming up as well.
That's coming.
See, it's good. I mean, it's good to get these things back on. That's one of the places, I think, in the discussion of the shutdown, the pandemics, how it affected businesses out there. We talked about it a bunch, but... the charities. I just mm-hmm. thought, and that's why, we did what we did during trying to get, yes. money and people to charities, because y'all were all, whether it be UCP or other charities out there, whoever that's in our community, I saw y'all all working and realized your funding mechanism was gone.
That's right. Our therapists and counselors and did not stop during the pandemic. They
right.
continued.
So y'all remember that, too. If, God forbid, we ever get in a situation like that again, remember the things that, you go, we do the fishing tournament every year. Whatever you would have spent on that, make sure you help out our local charities and keep them going doing that work. I appreciate y'all, and good to meet you, Amy.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having us.
Hey, it's a pleasure, and good to see you,
it's
Wayne.
It's always good to see you, Sean.
All right, we'll see you soon. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Joining us from Taylor Martino. We're going to talk about Zantac, and Amanda Summerlin's joining us in just minutes. Also, a reminder, too, the app is waiting for you to download right now, FM Talk 106.5 app. If you go to the App Store, if you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store. If you're an Android user like me, go to Google Play and just type in FM TALK 1065. You'll see our logo. That pops up. That is the app. Download it and enjoy it over the weekend. It's great. It's like a digital multi-tool. Traffic, information, weather information, podcast, social media feeds, show schedules, streaming the station, the ability to leave us a message, email it to us, all that stuff's on there. So check it out. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Amanda Summerlin from Taylor Martino Rowan back in studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean.
This is a subject we had talked about in the past, and that is Zantac. This is a name that people know because so many people took this drug Zantac, right? From, what, 1980s?
Yes, Sean. Zantac has been around since the mid-80s, and it's been around in different forms, in the generics and also in the brand names.
Now, so Zantac that people have taken that was taken off the market, when was that?
So the FDA, they issued a warning in September of 19 and actually pulled it from the market a few months later.
Why'd they do that?
Well, through this research, we have found that there are certain levels of NDMA, which is a carcinogen, in this drug that is can cause cancer.
So people that have taken this over time, and people that have cancer now, that's who you're talking to?
That's right. And with these drug cases, you know, we see what we call latency. So, you know, you may take something for a number of years and then not find out until later that it could be harmful.
All right. So this could be, this could be something that somebody wasn't even taking in 2019 and they still could be linked to this case.
That's right, Sean. These are, we're looking now at the prescription and the brand name Zantac. So, and it has been pulled from the market. So perhaps if they took it in, you know, 2010 or 2015 and they've developed cancer now, they should give us a call.
Okay. And what kind of, as you've done your research and y'all are working on this, what kind of cancers have you seen associated with the people that carcinogen that was in Zantac?
So that's what we've been doing the last couple of years is working with our experts and researching and looking at these different cancers. And there are, as you know, a number of cancers that we deal with. But right now, we are looking at five main cancers that we believe are associated with the Zantac.
Okay. And one of them, I was looking, esophageal. I mean, heck, that's kind of the reason people were taking Zantac, right? I mean,
it is.
The irony of that.
Right. And that's, you know, there are a lot of users of Zantac because, you know, it was to treat heartburn and indigestion and these everyday stomach issues. But when you think about Zantac and the five cancers, and you can sort of imagine it as it passes through the body. So we're looking at, as you said, esophageal, stomach, bladder, liver, and then pancreatic. So, you know, if someone took Zantac and they've developed one of these five cancers, it's definitely something we should look at.
Okay. Now, here's the other part of this question, the tough part. Somebody says, you know, they know they took Zantac. How do I prove that I took Zantac?
Well, and that's, you know, up to us as attorneys to do. But what we've been working through is, you know, we can get prescription records.
Okay.
We can get doctor records. We can also get diagnosing records from the cancer. And sometimes doctors have made notes in those records indicating that the cancer could be related to Zantac. So I understand people are not, you know, walking around with receipts, and that's okay.
But if they were prescribed this, Amanda, if they had been prescribed, they remember, Dr. Smith, whatever, prescribed this, that's where they could go get these records.
Right.
And on the prescription side.
Exactly. And actually, our office can assist with getting the records, you know. And the other thing is, maybe they took Zantac brand name over the counter.
Okay.
So we can get in touch with retailers and maybe there's a loyalty card or also a record of, right, of a purchase somewhere.
So this is, once again, the combination here. Just joining us, talking to Amanda Summerlin from Taylor Martino Rowan and talking about people that had taken Zantac and now have shown with these cancers. Once again, you said bladder, stomach, esophageal, liver, and pancreatic, right?
That's right.
So if those two things are in your world, you remember you were taking Zantac, whether it be prescription or over the counter.
That's right. But brand both. Name Zantac.
And then one of these cancers, or like a lot of times we talk about, maybe somebody listening to us today is not them, but it is a family member that shows this.
Yes. And we have seen that over the past couple of years, you know, where, you know, it is a spouse or a child or a parent. So we've seen people that have, you know, taken this medication for a number of years daily.
All right. And this was, so y'all know, this was pulled off the shelves. It's off the shelves now, but this is something that so many, many Americans took, and these people are living with cancer now, and it may be because of that Zantac.
Right. And it's just also, I know I mentioned the carcinogen, but there are also issues with, you know, this drug was stored at higher than room temperature. You know, there's a lot here in the documents and in the corporate discovery that we've been working on. So we have been researching and looking at these cases.
All right. So y'all have been doing the work. Now, if this is you or this is somebody that a loved one or a friend, they want to get in touch with you because, like you said, y'all been doing the research. You're ready to kind of give people advice on this. What do? They call for you or they just contact Taylor Martino Rowan and just say, I took Zantac? How does it work? What does somebody say on the phone?
Sure. They can give a call and say that, you know, they took Zantac and, you know, I'll speak with them or someone in my office will speak with them. And we have some cases on file. We are looking to have some trials set sometime next year.
Okay. So it's coming that quickly?
Yes.
All right. So y'all hear that message is coming quickly. Make sure to get in touch with Taylor Martino Rowan. Amanda, it's always good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.